everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. I'm your host, JP. Joining us, as always, co-host, man, myth, legend, the very tenacious and freshly shaved head, Nick Martin. How are you, brother?
Right. I'm good, man. Yes. Freshly shaved.
Good.
Just did it for you.
Looking actually. For me. That's a little, that's kind of awkward, but we'll just move on from there. Joining us today is an old buddy, longtime pal, and he's making waves in the world. I mean, back when I knew him, he was just a punk rocker in a band called Virus 9. And now he is not only a stuntman, a TV actor, a movie actor, a voice actor. He's moving up in the world. Welcome to Dadcast, Mr. Mike Estes. How are you, brother?
Thank you, guys. How you doing? Good to see you.
Good, man. Good. So how are things? How are you holding up during this whole pandemic?
Things are good. It's obviously, as you know, a very weird time in the world, a very strange Twilight Zone episode that we're living in. But things are good. Things are really good.
This is literally, if Twilight Zone needs to reboot and just, you could probably do 10 seasons on the last year alone of all the crazy stuff that's been going on in the world. So Mike, this is obviously Dadcast, where we like to talk all things dad, but forewarning, every single episode we have done so far in the show has gone straight off the rails. So we are going to talk dad as much as we can, but you know, obviously we're going to talk about you and your career and your family and anything else that may come up over the next hour. And we're stoked to have you aboard. First question, obviously, are you a dad?
I am a dad. Yes, I am. How many beautiful dogs? Two beautiful children.
Children. Okay, I heard dog there. It's damn internet connection. Beautiful children. How old are they? Names, ages? Are they boys? Are they girls?
I have an 18-year-old daughter. She's an adult now, which makes me very old.
Oh, right.
And I have a 2-year-old son. So there's a very big gap between the two. I was 23 when I became a father for the first time to my now 18-year-old daughter. And I was 40 when we had my son. So it's a very, very different ball game at 40. As you know, I think you guys are probably around the same age.
Yep.
Yeah.
I totally know.
Much different at 40 than it was at 23. Much different.
Yeah. We just had a baby last year and I'm 41. So yeah, it's totally different. My youngest before him is 14. So.
Oh, you get it. You have the same span.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, what am I doing? I was almost done. And yeah.
So. At 23, I was punk rock and I was, you know, I didn't go to college. I went on tour, mm-hmm. you know, and I was playing shows and putting out records and, you know, playing with my band, which I was trying to make a career at the time. You have to put a lot of energy into that. At 23, I was putting so much energy into that when in fact I should have been doing the home stuff and the daughter stuff. And now at 40, I can see the difference of raising a child at 23 and at 40, because I'm here, I'm present. I'm here. I wasn't really like, I was here before, but I was like writing songs, like touring and playing shows and like pop in, hey, dad's here. And now I'm on tour.
It's amazing how the priorities change as you get older too.
It really is. Yeah. Now my schedule like that works around my home life, my children. Before it was like gung ho. What can we get done right now as fast as we can? You know, it's like anything and everything. Now it's all about balance.
Now that you're older and have lived that and can look back on that time, and I think I know the answer to the question, and I know no regrets, but do you have any regrets?
For sure. Yeah, 100%. I mean, to say you don't have regrets, I mean, for a guy to say he doesn't have regrets, or a woman or whoever, that's a very, very bold statement. And I commend that person, because it's really hard not to do life and make mistakes and, you know, pick yourself up off the ground and dust yourself off. And, you know, you have to learn from those mistakes. So yeah, do I have regrets? Many. I've made lots of mistakes along the way, but, you know, had I not made those mistakes and learned from those lessons, I would be in a very different place, if not here at all, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, you take that lesson learned and applied to, you know, little man now. And it's amazing, you know, the journey that life takes us on and what you learn. You know, you, like you said, both you and Nick, you had kids young and then late. I was just in the path of late. You know, I honestly thought I was shooting blanks for many, many, many years. And it turns out I wasn't. At least we're, you know, there's been no DNA test to prove it otherwise, but I think I'm good. We started late.
So. I've seen photos of your kid. It's definitely yours.
Yeah, right. Well, at least one of them, right? Yeah. So, yeah, it's crazy how, you know, I guess I picked up from a lot of my friends who were dads back in the day and the mistakes they have made and the good things that they've done, applied that, plus my own father, who was amazing. I really think the journey that I'm on as a father, it worked out for me as it should have, because I got all that partying crap out of the way. And now it's all about, you know, everything I can do, everything I do in life is for them. You know, we still like to have fun a little bit here and there, but you know, the sure. journey to make them better, I think worked out better for me to, for them being older. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Well, you're more responsible and you know, you definitely, you've sowed some oats and you know, you've
done. Oh yes, we have.
you've done the young guy stuff and
you remember shenanigans, don't you?
Hey man. Absolutely.
I put that bar to close more times than I can count. Yes, so tell us about your little guy, man. I know he's what, about 2 years old now?
He's two. He's amazing. His name is Nico. He's a comedian. He's you know, he's the boss. He's the boss of the house. He runs the show. Mama runs the show, but he likes
to me. No, it's been such a fun. It's, you know, I follow you on social media and, you know, seeing the journey that you've been walking on. I mean, first, you know, meeting your lady and then you guys, you're engaged now or married? You're married, right?
We're engaged.
You're engaged. Not married yet. Yeah, so getting engaged and then having this beautiful child. It's just, it's really a pleasure to watch and see where you've grown. And not only, you know, the family life, what you are doing in your career. I have a great story. We were driving back from Vegas. We'll skip the part about me blowing out a tire in the middle of Death Valley, but I'm driving. I'm minding my own business. You know, 10-year-old's back of the car sleeping, doing something on his iPad. And the lady sitting right next to me, all of a sudden she jumps up. She's watching stuff on her iPad. She freaks out and she's like, JP, look, isn't this? And she flashes her phone right in front of my face and I'm driving and she's got it paused. Isn't that Mike? Episode from 911. She's watching. It's like her favorite show. And I'd already seen this clip, right? And I'm like, just wait, you're going to love what happens. And oh my God, he got his ass kicked. And, but yeah, you know, that was, she thought that was the coolest thing. I'm like, you know, that Mike's doing shows. My favorite, even though we couldn't see your face, was Mandalorian.
That was a fun one. Dude. That was a very fun one.
You played
that
Dark Trooper, well, right?
Death Trooper. Death Trooper. Well, to backstep, the 911 stuff was awesome. That was great. That was, I primarily get more of the stunt stuff, of course, because I'm a stunt guy. And I typically get to bypass the process of audition half the time being a stunt guy. So that being said, I also go through an agent to do real acting stuff, which I don't do a ton of, but more stunt stuff. This was like a co-star gig. So they're like, okay, you got some lines, you got like a real part. So right. that was having a pretty lengthy resume of, like you said, not being able to see my face and doing these lots of one-off gigs, you know, hitting the ground, getting shot. If I'm dead, I die. They can't use me again, you know, so.
Right. Well, you got a ton of those, man. I mean, freaking Walking Dead.
Oh, man. I could tell that's real.
Yeah. You crap ton. And another one of my faves here. This is all, you know, we're floating Mike's boat right here. Shameless. When you're in the interaction with Fiona, that was a good one. What was another one? You're walking down a hallway and you're a cop. What TV show is that?
Space Force.
Yes, that one I didn't even know you were on, and I'm watching it. I'm like, God damn it, there's Mike again.
Yeah. Steve Carell was very cool. Got to hang with him in craft service. Very nice guy. Again, a stunt gig for that. The Shameless stuff was cool because that was my parents' favorite show that they watched together. They binged it, and I brought home a lighter from the set that was part of the props for my stepdad. Because T was a huge fan as well. And a call sheet. So my parents were, that was for my mom and dad.
Yeah.
Was Shameless. But back to Mandalorian. Who doesn't want to be in Star Wars?
I know, right?
That's childhood 101. I mean, I was a Star Wars geek. I'm still a Star Wars geek. So I was sitting on the couch one day and I was drinking coffee out of my Stormtrooper mug. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Nice. Drinking coffee out of my Stormtrooper mug. And I get this call. And this guy, he goes, hey, a buddy of mine is a flight coordinator. He goes, I have this gig. If you're interested, shoots tomorrow, but you have to do a fitting today. And I said, I'm available. Yeah, totally. What's the wardrobe? What's the gig? He goes, I can't tell you the gig. But the wardrobe's sort of suit armor-ish type stuff. And I look at I had known that they were shooting the Star Wars show here, a couple of shows. And I was trying every angle to get into these shows, trying to find the coordinator, trying to, you know, figure out how am I going to get on the show?
Right.
And I get this call. I'm looking at my mug. I'm like, this has to be a Stormtrooper. And Serena walks in. I'm like, and I said, yeah, I come do this fitting today. And I went down and I walked onto the stage and there's all these blue tarps all over the place. Right. And I'm trying to like look under the tarps. It's super top secret. Nobody's around. Nobody's on the stage. And I look around the corner and there's a speeder bike. And I was like, oh shit, this has to be Star Wars. I have no idea which Star Wars. I didn't even know that they were making The Mandalorian. I just knew that they were making a Star Wars show.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I'm a Stormtrooper. Done. And the guy walks out with the big boxes of stuff. And he goes, well, you're not a Stormtrooper because you're too tall, 6 foot two. Apparently you have to be 5'10 and under to be a Stormtrooper because they made all the wardrobe for Rogue One in London and they ship them
right from
London back to the States. So I was too big for a Stormtrooper. Like, oh, okay, what am I going to be? Like some weirdo monster, Death Trooper. It's like the Navy SEAL of the Stormtroopers.
Yeah. Sweet.
So played a Death Trooper, Moff Gideon's Death Trooper.
Tell me you got you snuck out the costume.
I did not.
Halloween's.
They made us wear cloaks when we walked around.
Right.
Couldn't wear the helmet because they had people with drones flying over the studios just to capture photos of people.
Oh yeah.
Easy.
That was crazy.
If I could, I'd totally be one of those guys.
Huh?
If I could, I'd totally be one of those guys.
Oh, yeah, you would
for sure.
And then I get my drone shot down and be pretty pissed off. But no, man, that credit right there, just, you know, for putting myself in your shoes is you got that forever, man. You were in The Mandalorian. You were in the Star Wars universe and no one can ever take that away from you. Does your, I know he's super, super young. He has no idea, but I'm going to ask anyway, does Nico have any idea that dad is in TV shows or movies yet? You'd like point it out.
He does. He knows that mom and dad are both
right.
That do this. He has a handful of Star Wars stuff that he's like, hey, this is dad, you know? And he runs around and he sings the Darth Vader song, the do.
Yeah.
That's his like song. But he's well aware of Star Wars and well aware of it.
That is so amazing. It doesn't hurt to now getting these parts for you. It doesn't hurt that your lady, your fiance is actually a very well-known movie star as well. Right. That doesn't hurt things.
She is. Well, I wouldn't say it doesn't hurt. Because it doesn't really correlate into me getting a gig, but as far as knowing the person and knowing what I'm a part of, if I was part of like a crew or a team
right.
of stunt guys that knew her from Power Rangers or something like that. Yeah, that helps for sure. But yeah, she's been very successful in her career. Cabin Fever. She was a Power Ranger. She was in Not Another Teen Movie. She was the naked foreign exchange student. she also played the mother of 7 kids recently on Disney's Stuck in the Middle.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So for all the dads out there that are watching this, that have kids that are old enough to watch Disney's Stuck in the Middle, the mom, Susie Diaz, is Serena Vincent, which is my better half.
That's right. And Mama to Nico. That was neat. Is that her first child?
It is her first child. Yeah.
Wow. That must be amazing for her as well, man. Being a father is kick ass, but being a first time mom too, a good thing you had the experience behind it as well. That's probably helping out a little bit.
It helps, but you know what? At the same time, my experience was so different than what we're implementing now.
Yeah.
because I was so young and so dumb, and you know, it was all about me. It wasn't, I mean, I hate to say it. It should have been more about her at the time, but I was, again, 23, and it's no excuse, but that's just who people are at that age.
Yeah.
You know? So how is your relationship now with your older daughter?
It's because of the version of our relationship before, which her and I were very tight. We were very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in Oregon. She's up there with you guys, in that area. How's the relationship? It's non-existent currently.
Okay. So I kind of have the same situation. My oldest daughter lives in Texas, and I kind of failed when she was a baby and tried to fix it throughout the years, and it didn't work out. So I'm just always looking for advice if there's a way to get back into their life. And
yeah, man. Hey,
just keep trying is what everybody tells me. So
keep trying. That's what everybody tells me too. I mean, I literally have been fighting this battle for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really had a solid conversation with her in 4 years, because I did move away, and because, you know, I tried to parent from afar, and that doesn't work. I'm sure you tried to do that.
Yeah. I couldn't even imagine.
You have to be dad.
Yeah.
And it's hard to be dad when there's no reason for this person to take you seriously.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, it's a two-way street, you know, depends on their, surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
She's an adult now, right? She's 18.
She's an adult.
Yeah, so, you know, I foresee great things as far as that relationship with you two now. You know, she's an adult. Yeah. She can reach out. You can reach out. Hell, she can come drive and see you, be on set, something like that. You know, it's going to work out, man. It's going to be just fine. No, plus, she's got to meet baby brother, right?
One more time?
She got to meet baby brother.
That's right, yes. So, yeah, it'll get there. It's just, word of advice, if you get that gut feeling to not be non-existent, do everything you can to be existent, because far too many of us, like Nick and me, have made that mistake. I mean, it's like you get one shot to make an impression on a person and help them and guide them and be that person that you're supposed to be to them, that parent. One shot. You waste that, it's going to be really, really hard to pick up those pieces. And mm-hmm. I'm proof of that. And so are you. I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
It's so hard to you lose somebody's trust. Forget it.
Mm-hmm. Nick, how old is your daughter? This one we're talking about.
She is 20.
She's 20 years old.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. So. Do you want to get personal, Nick? Cause I got questions for you.
Sure. Let's get personal.
Have you, when reaching out, were you just shot down? Was there no communication? Is she angry?
No. I mean, when she was born, there's some stuff happened with her mom's mom and kind of told me to get out of the scene. I was young, stupid, made bad choices. So I was like, all right, whatever. You know, I took off. I got back into her life when she was 5 and kind of tried to work, you know, talk to her when I could, saw her when I could. And then she moved away. So kind of nothing happened for till about 6 years ago. And then we started talking for about 2 or 3 years. And then about 2 years ago, she sent me a letter saying she wanted nothing to do with me, that she wanted me to kind of write her off and let her stepdad be her real dad.
Now, so I was like, what do you think it sounded like you were on the track of making things right again. Did something happen during that period of time that triggered her to write that letter?
I really don't know. I probably could have spent more time getting to know her, more time talking to her. I mean, we talk like once a month. I should have reached out probably every day. You know, I could have done more, but, so that's where that's at.
And what's her name?
Her name's Jada.
Jada. Okay. I'm talking to you right now. Give the man a chance. He's your father, you know, and, he's tenacious and he's a great dad and he wants to make things right. And it takes two to tango, girl. And, you're not dancing. Sorry, that's firm, but I'm just trying to
a little firm.
I'm trying to.
Yeah,
let me take a lot of it. Takes two to tango, you know, and yeah. I'm sure he was a total jerk, but let's
pretty much
let's heal, man. Let's heal. Yeah, I know you only get one real dad, and he's right there and wanted to make it happen. Okay, that's my message. If she ever sees it, Nick, I hope I helped. I probably didn't, but you know.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So this episode brought out some deep stuff.
Well, yeah, you know, these are questions that they came up, and you know, I wanted to know. Probably could have asked in private, but you know, it makes for a good makes for good podcasting.
That's right.
That's why you guys do this, right? This is it's almost like
exactly. It's a healing thing too.
Yeah.
Mike.
Yeah.
Tell me about Ombre.
About Ombre.
Ombre.
There's not really much to tell you about Ombre, actually. Okay. I did Ombre, hired through a stunt coordinator that Julie Michaels. She's Pee Wee Piemonte and Julie Michaels. They're a stunt team, husband and wife. They did SEAL Team. They've done a ton of different stuff. She, I think, doubled Pamela Anderson for Baywatch. Great, great stunt coordinators. She coordinated Ombre, which comes out on Showtime, I think, soon.
Yeah, correct? I see it's in post-production.
Yeah. Yeah, I play an ICE agent
that
does a big bust on migrant workers in a big facility.
Have you got injured yet on any of your stunts?
I have, yeah. Yeah, I broke my leg.
Ooh.
Fighting a dude, right?
Right.
He's supposed to grab me, throw me over his shoulder. Throw a punch, he ducks, grabs my arm, puts me over his shoulder. His shoulder dislocates. Okay. I was supposed to go over like this.
Right.
Instead, I went over like this.
Oh.
Right. My left leg hits the ground. But here's the thing. Had I been on a pad, it would have been different. We had it all worked out where if something were to go wrong and I did hit the ground, I would be all right. Director goes, all right, so we're going to do the shot, but we're not going to do it here. We're doing it from here. We're looking down on it.
Okay.
So we're going to do a fight scene so you can see the two dudes going at it, right? So we do it, pop, shoulder, flip, leg, hit the ground. Keep the take. Did it seven more times, broke it on the first take. When I hit the ground, you can see my leg just go and just noodle.
Oh.
Kept the take. That was awesome.
What show did that appear in?
That was a commercial for something.
Ago, yeah. I'd like to see that. I don't know. Call the Masochist in me.
Yeah. He's jumping off of a yacht on a beach and supposed to come around a corner and get shot, fall over the edge, right? And we rehearsed it, practiced it, and I had it down. We get to the scene. Wardrobe comes up, sorry, props comes up, puts a watch on me. And the hand that I was using to grab the railing to jump over the edge now has a watch. And they go, action. Hand on the thing, fall over. Wrist gets stuck in between the two bars because of the watch. I go over. I'm like, I can feel my hand as I'm going over. Is it going to give? Is it going to give? Is it going to give? And the watch broke. And it skinned my hand. But it could have taken my arm off had it not been a prop watch.
Right.
It was like a weird plastic piece of shit or whatever, you know. But had it been like a, you know, Rolex or something, I would have lost my hand. Because, you know, 180 pounds pulling on a wrist, at least skinned to the bones.
Well, you know, that's what you signed up for, stuntman.
That's right, man. All in day's work. It's got its ups and downs, I suppose.
Oh man, I just noticed today on Facebook. You think you posted it a few hours ago? I'm all over the place, by the way. You posted a few pictures of your kid Nico at the location shot from Evil Dead with three words. No.
Army of Darkness.
Yeah. That kid, man, you did good, man. He is a good looking kid. And I think he got most of mom's looks, though, just to be honest.
Not all from mom.
He's a good-looking kid, Nick. Did you see those pictures?
I did see those pictures. Yeah.
I mean, we went to...
I tried to keep up with Mike in his pictures, too. I'm like, okay, I got to post more of my little guy.
Well, I did the same, guys. I watch you. I was looking at stuff, too. That was Bronson Caves up in Griffith Park.
Right.
It was Army of Darkness, Star Trek, the Bat Cave, original 1966, I think. I tried to take him all the cool little spots around LA that, you know, you can actually take a kid to.
How, so LA, how is it down there these days? I mean, it's kind of cooled down, but you know, middle of last year when all the horse shit, for lack of a better way to say it, going on in the world with, you know, Black Lives Matter and everything, has everything settled down, or is it still pretty, pretty political out there?
You know, I never really saw too much that was politicized that had to do with Los Angeles. Right. I saw a lot of polar politics, about 50-50 everywhere I've been.
Right.
I mean, we go on tour, we do conventions, we do, you know, live shows and stuff. And everywhere we've been, it's been really just polarized. It's been split right down the middle. It's the Black Lives Matter stuff didn't really go over the top. I think that people saw the Black Lives Matter stuff here as, let me rephrase that. Am I seeing Black Lives Matter stuff here? Yes. Is it crazy over the top? No. Could it be looked at as crazy over the top from someone that isn't in a community that's so fast paced? Yes. Because it's not necessarily, I think that we're desensitized to things like that in,
right,
in cities like Los Angeles. But again, if I were to see Black Lives Matter stuff and have it affect me differently, I'm sorry, have it affect me at all, as far as not being desensitized to it, seen on the news and around here, I would say would be a positive thing.
Right.
Because, well, we all know why. We all know the because.
Yeah. We don't need to go there.
Right. I mean, I could go political right now.
We can if you want, man. But I think we all, and for the record, we lean in the exact same direction. So it wouldn't be, this would not turn into an argument at all.
Yeah, and that's great. Am I seeing Black Lives Matter stuff? Yeah. Do I wish I would see more? Of course. Yeah. I wish I would see more of the people that are doing the small part that they're doing. I wish we'd see more people doing it.
Yeah.
Because the small group is not enough to, it was enough to do the impact that it did. And it definitely did an impact. We are a different planet now because of George Floyd.
We certainly are. And I mean, with that verdict last week, it was, I mean, at least for me, I was really, really looking forward to that day, just to see what would happen. And every bit and every fiber of me was going, please do not let this turn into another Rodney King scenario. You know, let's hope the right call is made. And it was across the board. And it seemed like a weight off the shoulders of America and everyone fighting and for equality. And there was no protesting craziness, buildings on fire, people shooting and hurting each other. It was how it should have been. And that's, again, another step in the right direction. And then I just sat on the couch and just went, you know, good. Good, good, good. This is where we need to be, where we need to go.
Definitely a step in the right direction. There's a lot of work to be done.
Oh yeah. For sure.
And for the record, can we just set something straight?
Yes.
Antifa, come on, get the fuck out of here. Anti-fascist. Anti-fascist.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Nothing. As long as the real Antifas are, but that's the thing. You know, if you're anti-fascist, awesome. But if you're an Antifa who's anti-fascist being fascist, then there's a friggin' problem. You know,
exactly.
It's the same thing if you want to get into whole COVID and mask wearing. You know, the big debate going on right now is, and for the record, it's my Bill Murray, my honor to the healthcare workers right there. If you are vaccinated, you got both shots. And the debate going right now is, well, if you have it, then why do you still need to wear a mask? And the argument is, well, for you can still have it and spread it for the people who don't, you know, to keep them protected. But it's everyone fighting and arguing over what it seems to be a cut and dry thing in my head. You know, if you're at home and you're vaccinated and you're outside, you don't want to wear a mask. Fine, man. But dude, just throw on the mask. You're going to the grocery store. You're in the movies. You're doing something, you know, it's not hurting you.
Respect thing. Yeah. Right. Respect everybody else. Be kind.
Wear a fucking mask if you're out in public. I'm sorry for my language, but it's dad cast. There's kids listening, but
we're dads. It's okay.
How hard is it to wear a mask?
It's not. It's not. Minor inconvenience. Like when I walk out the car to go into 7-Eleven, I make it five steps and go, I forgot my mask, and I have to go back to the car and get it. Whoopity doo. You know, that's not a big deal. And soon enough,
I'm not a doctor. I've never played one on TV.
You sure?
But I should. I mean, but from my understanding, if you're vaccinated, which I am, you guys, I believe, are too, right?
My next shot is Monday. My second shot.
Cool. Watch out. Are you getting Pfizer or Moderna?
Pfizer.
Okay, that's what I had. Second shot, it'll knock you on your ass.
That's what I'm hearing.
You guys aren't zombies yet, so I'll probably do it. So
what's that?
It's a time release.
You guys aren't zombies yet, so I'll probably go ahead and do it.
Nice. Yeah. Serena's laid up right now from her second shot as we speak.
Did you get it yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I heard that, you know, the day of and the next day is a little, depending on who, it can be a little bit rough. I actually have, you know what? I got two appointments that day, the shot and I'm getting my Oregon real ID. So I got to go DMV. I think I'll go to the DMV first, just in case and get the shot after and then plan on not doing it. Hopefully I'm good by Cinco de Mayo because there's beers and tacos to be had, which is two days after. But I mean, so how did you feel after that second shot? I mean, was it just fluish? Just,
you know, it felt like every injury that I've ever had came back to haunt me for like 24 hours.
Ooh.
All my joints inflamed, wrists, knees, neck, everything. It was just like pre-flu symptoms for like a day.
Yeah, because after my first shot, it felt like Mike Tyson just gave me his hardest blow to the shoulder the next day, like just perpetual dead arm. But we'll see. Whatever, it's worth it. You know, if I got to go through a day of that crap just to, you know, peace of mind. And also, I didn't really care one way or another. You know, and again, not to get political, but when this all started and talking about the vaccines, I didn't lean either which way. I wasn't it was just kind of, you know, neutral. But my lady just went through breast cancer and a double mastectomy, and she is very immune compromised right now. So after that, it wasn't even a thought in my head or a choice to argue it. Yes, I'm getting that shot because, you know, we share a home together, and anything I can do to keep her healthy and protect her, it's my responsibility. It is my job. It is my absolute right to have to do that. And the kids in the house, keep them protected. So, you know, it wasn't whatever. If I turn into a zombie, so what? Nick, you have permission. Hey. Put a bullet between my eyes if I become a zombie.
Right. Okay.
But film it, okay? And put it on YouTube because that's going to be
we'll
some
make
good
sure
stuff.
It does on the Dadcast socials.
Right. Don't let my kids be in the same room, though. You know, I need that respect.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, even if you're vaccinated, again, I'm not a doctor, and I'm just rambling shit that I could be full of. But my understanding is that even if you're vaccinated, you should wear a mask because you can still catch it. You just don't feel it. Catch it and give it to someone else, right? Yeah. You can still carry it. So wear a mask.
There's no argument. It's
no argument.
And all these, you know, anti-maskers who are so freaking adamant on it. It's you propose that simple statement. Look, it's not hurting you. You could, if you have protecting grandma and not protecting grandma, does help, doesn't help, doesn't help. What does it matter to you? If it does work, why wouldn't you? If it doesn't work and we don't know, you're not hurting anyone. Why are you being, and those people just, it pisses me off. And at this point, it's been a year of it. I don't even argue with it anymore. You know, I see it on Facebook and I either scroll on or block, see you later, you know, whatever. I don't need to see this stuff anymore. It's enough everywhere.
I feel you. I feel it. I'm over it. And you know, I was of the mind at the very beginning of, see, here's the thing. All these people have given quote unquote true conspiracy theorists.
Sorry, my phone's ringing. You like that ringtone? It's the Mandalorian.
What was it?
It's the Mandalorian theme song.
Oh, nice.
All right, conspiracy theorists. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, I mean, all these people are giving real conspiracy theorists a bad rap. And when I say that, I'm not talking about conspiracy theorists like QAnon people. Those people are nuts. I'm talking about people that believe in like aliens and like, chemtrails and things like that.
Right.
Things that are like just weird, fun conspiracy, you know, things. This is like really taking that to the limit, to the max. And this is like, how bad can we make someone out to be?
Right.
And they create this QAnon shit. It's giving people that believe in aliens a bad rap. Right. You know what I mean? It's like you can't call them conspiracy theorists. You call them crazy assholes.
There you go.
They're two very different people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know? Crazy. So I don't know where I was going.
You finished up good. Crazy assholes is.
I think we need aliens unless it's crazy assholes. So.
Yes. And yes. If, and maybe we can, you know, put the flat earthers aside too. You know, they can. No. Come on, man. Look at the shadow. I mean, anyway, you're going to go off on a tangent. I told you, Mike, off the freaking rails.
After Eddie Bravo to be on the
every single time.
The flat earther. Who? So.
Oh, let's get him on just so we can make, let's make fun of him.
You should get a flat earther on your podcast.
So, you know, we're going to spend an hour. Convince us. You have an hour. Go.
That's right.
That's genius.
And then
we won't even talk. Just convince us.
Right. And then at the end of that hour, you know, I
we get another hour.
And then you get your turn.
Yeah,
exactly.
You get your hour.
And I don't even need the hour. You know, I don't. Well, yeah, you know what? I probably would. But again, they're not going to believe you. Those hardcore fanatics of conspiracy, crazy asshole flat earthers. There's no convincing them, you know, just like, you know, the non-maskers and whatnot. Nuts. Okay. I'm done with this topic. Let's get back to kids and the good stuff in dads. Right, Mike? I'm sorry. You know, it goes off.
Okay.
Now, being in LA, doing everything you can do, because, you know, I grew up down there. I know raising kids in LA, it's not difficult. I mean, did you live in a good neighborhood, good schools and whatnot?
We're in the hills of West Hollywood, California.
Awesome. Okay. So if you're still there when that boy gets to 15, 16, 17, man, Sunset Strip, the shows, you're close to Disneyland. Have you taken him there yet, or has it been closed almost the entire time?
We had a really cool thing that Serena was doing, the Disney show. We would take the family there because we get like the guided tours, you know?
Right.
Oh, when she was on the show. We don't have that anymore. It's on the show. So we haven't been back there, but, there's a really cool way to do Disneyland if you haven't done it. And it's, you can get like a tour guide, and mm-hmm. they take you to the thing for, you know, it's a couple extra bucks, take you to the rides first, and you get to go through the back, and you get to, it's like a guided tour, you know? So that was cool. That was cool for before, COVID, but now going back to COVID, I don't know if you could go back to Disneyland and have to wait in a line for 4 hours.
Well,
I did it one time before I went this other way, and it's like, I don't know if my back can take it.
I know, standing in those lines. What I hear, I've got a buddy who had like the season, the annual pass, and I know Disneyland has reopened, obviously not to capacity, and they're only allowing California residents. So now is the time, if you can, because lines are non-existent, and you basically walk onto everything you want, and it's just it's such a better experience because there's less people. So I'm working on getting my fake ID so I can take the and you know, that's the plan. We really want to hit Disneyland when it's not crazy out there, because the kids are of age. Nico, obviously, probably not going to remember that trip, but coming up soon.
Now, because before, Galaxy's Edge wasn't there.
So good.
I've never been to it.
You haven't?
No.
Okay.
And they have. You can drink in Disneyland now because of Galaxy's Edge. Am I right?
Yes. I literally not going far. I'm going to show you something. Keep talking.
All right. So it's like two worlds just colliding: alcohol and Disney.
Interesting.
I've never been to. I think you had to go over to the other park to get a beer. I don't What's the other park called?
I have no idea. I've honestly never been to Disney, so I don't know.
Okay.
I'm white, I think. But, so at Galaxy's Edge, you can build your own lightsaber.
Sweet.
And this thing is, it's not going to do it justice on the camera, but it weighs about 15 pounds, just the hilt. And you can choose, you want to go light, you want to go dark, you want to go a certain type. So I totally went Sith. And this is the dark side hilt, and you can purchase different colors. So this one is, that's actually looking pretty good, but that is
really good.
That is blue.
That looks like a real lightsaber on the camera that I'm looking through.
Right?
Yeah. Wow. Crazy. Oh, it makes noise too.
Yeah, but there it is.
Nice.
So yeah, that and really not great cheap
pool around it.
But the Galaxy's Edge is so amazing because it's the experience when going in and making this thing. It's like a ride and a story. They take you into this big old room and there's holographs and there's stories and it's just real fun. About 30 minutes, cost about $250 to make this thing, but
worth it.
That's the only reason I wanted to go to Disneyland, aside from, you know, hanging out with the kids and letting them experience for the first time. But we went December 2019. Right before the shit hit the fan, and I got my lightsaber, and I got to see Galaxy's Edge. So you got to go, Mike. It's
you have to see it, but it's on the list. That's the first place we're taking you to,
dude. It's and plus you've been in Star Wars. You should have a free pass. Just walk on in, man.
That's right.
You know, I'm Death Trooper.
One more episode. We'll see.
Yeah, it's so good, man. I look forward to that. Take pictures because I want to live vicariously through you.
Boom, done.
Yes. Do you miss Oregon?
Get tattoo on your arm? Is that new?
This is brand new. I went to Florida on St. Patrick's Day and me and the lady got matching tattoos to remember our trip. Literally, I woke up the second to last day we were there and I said, you want to go get tattoos? She says, okay. I'm like, you want to get a matching? She says, okay. And I originally wanted a fish taco because that's why I go to South Florida. They have the best fish tacos on the planet. Nick, you were about to say something?
We talked about you getting a fish taco tattoo.
Right?
What the hell happened?
Jen decided matching tattoos. She didn't want a fish taco.
Jen's fired. That's it's ridiculous.
But my idea was actually going to be a fish holding a taco, a fish taco.
Even better.
Nice. But yeah, so anyway, we got the palm trees. I caved.
It's good.
And it's good. Yeah, this side's still way better, but you know, it's... We got some room to fill up. Just like, I mean, you want to get on a tattoo board. The man Mike's wearing full sleeve shirt right here, but he's pretty inked up. You see, there it is. It's all over the place. When's your last two? How long ago?
Last tattoo I got was sorry, showing you my bottom half here.
Thank you for wearing pants.
Hey, you like that?
The clover?
Yeah, I got it in Dublin, Ireland.
Oh, man. See?
Yeah, I went to Ireland, Scotland, and England with Bruce on tour. And then Bruce left, came back to the States. I stayed in Scotland for a week. I went to a castle, you know, walked around, so did my thing. Went to Dublin.
Yeah.
Got a tattoo. You know, I'm Irish.
Did you drink any Guinness from a bar?
I did not drink any Guinness, no. I was drinking scotch.
Fair enough. That's probably heavy, better anyway.
Yeah.
But my clover came after I drank too much at Shenanigans on St. Patrick's Day, like 8 years ago. And I went across the street to Fat Cat and said, Johnny, I just won $80 on the machine. Put a clover on me. And he did. And there you go. Way better story on your end.
Well, that's, you know, it's genius. Open a tattoo parlor. Across the street from a bar and stay open late.
Yeah, right? Oh, I mean, how many times I partied on the roof of that place, man. Jeff, rest in peace. We miss you. Nick.
Yes.
How are you, brother?
What up?
You doing good?
I'm good, man.
You got any questions for Mike that I haven't thought of already?
I don't. I'm just like reminiscing about Virus 9 days.
Oh, that's crazy, a good topic to talk good. About.
Crazy punk concerts and doing stupid shit in Medford.
That's when I met you, man. When I first started working on KROG and there was, you know, a bunch of local shows going on. And then one of my greatest memories of Virus 9 was that friggin' video you guys put out with the zombies. Mm-hmm. Yep. Good stuff.
Directed by John Foote. Landmine Productions. I was
shot in Shenanigans before it was Shenanigans.
Yeah, it was
wasn't the Boz. The Boz, wasn't it?
It was the Boz? Roz.
Boz. B-O-Z. Yeah, I think. Anyway, it was there.
Yeah, yeah. So Landmine, John Flitt, I don't know if he's a dude that you could have.
Yeah, I know. I need to talk to him. I've known John for a long time.
Yeah, John was a mentor of mine for 10 years. John sort of took me under his wing. I was 16, working at Zoomies in the mall, Rogue Valley Mall. And at the time, his wife worked there with me. And she put up a flyer for a punk rock show that her and her husband, John, were putting together. And I noticed that this band was on a label called BYO, Better Youth Organization out of Los Angeles, which is owned by Youth Brigade. They're owned and operated by Youth Brigade out of LA. And I knew of Youth Brigade because of a documentary called The Decline of Western, called Another State of Mind, that they did with the band Social Distortion, if you're familiar with Social D.
Oh, yeah.
Social D. Nice. So Social D and Youth Brigade put out this documentary about touring, putting out records in the early 80s together as bands in punk rock scene in LA. So I was very familiar with this logo, this BYO, Better Youth Organization, because of this documentary and these bands. So she puts up this flyer for this band that's on BYO, a label out of LA still, called Automatic 7. Remember that show?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This is like 1997.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just out of high school when that happened.
Yeah. I was
like 17 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I was 17 because Virus 9 recorded a cassette tape in my parents' living room at Central Point, Oregon.
Four track.
Four track. Recorded it. And I told her, I said, "Hey, I want to meet your husband if he knows these guys, because this is a label that I'm really interested in." She said, "That's interesting because my husband's wanting to start a record label." So cool. I'd love to meet him. I was 16, I think. Took my cassette tape that we had recorded probably 3 or 4 months earlier that I'd been handing out to every Nick and JP in the Valley, you know, and she's like, "Yeah, he'll totally meet you." And I went and met with him down at Landmine, which is down South Medford, First Street, you know, down there, by KBOY, old Larson's building.
The old one, yeah.
Pear Warehouse. He had taken the Pear Warehouse and turned it into a movie studio, a production house, because he had just come back from Los Angeles, worked there for 10 years, making movies, worked on Matt TV and some other stuff. And he had opened this film studio and was starting a record label out. So I went and I talked to him. I was 16. He was probably 26. And he was like, "I think you have something here. I'd really like to put a record out for you. Like a 7-inch record." I said, "Sure." So we recorded a 7-inch record with John for his label called Mental Records out of Medford, Oregon. This is 1998 now. I ultimately started managing that record label, even after Virus 9 had moved on and done other things with other labels, which ultimately became the production house for the movie My Name is Bruce.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Which is where I met Bruce Campbell officially, which is how this whole journey sort of spun. It was that turn that is why I'm here.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you that. Is Bruce, for lack of a better way to put it, directly responsible for Mike, where he is at right now?
Mike is directly responsible.
Okay, let me rephrase. That was.
but
was Bruce a major influence on putting Mike on the path that he is on now? Yeah, I know. But that was a shitty way to put it.
There's two people that are directly responsible for being the catalyst to the career path that I'm on, music and movies, and that's both John Flitt and Bruce Campbell. John Foote taking me under his wing to put out records for us. Not only was he doing that, he also hired me as an intern that ultimately ended up being a paid gig for on and off for 10 years. I worked stage, prop house, makeup department, casting, costumes, production assistant, to sweep in the floors, walking the doors, you know, everything. I had a key chain for that studio that was 10 pounds, you know, keeping. So I learned the film business through John that way and opened up the doors for the musical career as well from John. Which I mentioned led to Bruce. And
right.
The Bruce thing took me to Miami for years. I worked on Burn Notice out there. Took me to New Zealand. I worked on Ash vs. Evil Dead over there for a couple seasons. And ultimately landed me here in Los Angeles. I just sort of stayed, you know.
Yeah. What role did you have beginning in Burn Notice?
I played a chopper pilot.
Right.
Mercenary. It was glorified background, but it was through the stunt department.
Right. I mean, that was your first acting gig in Burn Notice. Did you do anything behind the scenes for the show?
I was Bruce's assistant.
Okay.
I was Bruce's personal assistant. I'm sorry. I left that part out.
Yeah.
I was Bruce's personal assistant, for almost 10 years.
Now, how did that come about? How did that, how did that conversation go? How does Mike Estes become Bruce Campbell's personal assistant? If that's something you can or want to talk about.
Sure. Yeah. What's funny is I was driving, was working for Landmine. Actually, I was driving down to Los Angeles for a gig that, cause we were doing all the badass coffees, all the interior designs,
right.
And the surfers. We were doing all those. And I was driving a U-Haul full of stuff, like equipment down to a bare bones coffee shop. We're just getting ready to do the interior on. And I was talking to my dad on the phone. I was driving by myself and talking to my dad. I want to learn the business from Bruce Campbell. I literally said that. I said, I wrote him a big, massive email. And I said, hey, I will do this for free if you just teach me what you know. I'll dedicate any time you need for whatever you need. And I got an invite to a New Year's party. Virus 9 did. Virus 9 got invited, our band, got invited to Bruce's house for a New Year's party. And I saw him and he goes, I owe you an email. I said, it's all good, man. Take time. You know? And within probably 2-3 days, he wrote me back because I'm actually looking to hire an assistant. Temporary. We got picked up in Miami for Burn Notice and I'm going to need a hand moving. You know, I said, sure. I'm thinking maybe a week. I'm going to drive
right.
Stuff out to Miami. I'll never see him again. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. For the glorified mover. You know, move my stuff into this U-Haul.
I was grateful just for that.
You know? Right. I would be. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I moved him out to Miami, him and his wife, Ida. I didn't move them. I helped them.
Move. Yeah.
And after that was all said and done, they said, well, we're here for 7 months. If you're interested. And I said, done.
The rest is history.
Yep. So I stayed there for I think 4 seasons. Back and forth for 3, New Zealand, like I said, and Los Angeles.
That's so cool. Bruce is such a cool guy. I mean, obviously you know him a whole heck of a lot better than I do. I had one experience with him when he came in to promote. My name is Bruce. When he came into KROG and we did a quick interview with him. That was, I mean, top 10 highlight of my career so far was having him in studio.
I've met him a couple of times. One of the nicest guys ever. So
yes. Yeah. Bruce is, I owe a lot to Bruce. He's shown me a lot of this business that I would not have been able to see. I mean, you can't pay for the experience. Film school is one thing, but being on the set and seeing it from that point of view for as long as I did actually get paid for it. That's priceless.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. you know, hands-on is still better than any freaking classroom, right?
Yep.
Bottom line, mention, period.
He's one of my dearest friends, you know, mm-hmm. and he's like family. So it's, Bruce is a wonderful, wonderful human, him and his wife both. And I'm grateful to have them in my life for sure. They've helped me immensely in my career and just sort of steered me in the right direction. And, you know, I run almost everything by, you know, big, big career decisions, you know,
right.
Like, hey, what would you do? Right. you know? So I get a lot of VC advice.
Well, that's good. You know, that's the best advice to get, especially from, you know, good character man like that.
Yep.
Does Nico have a god dad? Is it Bruce?
He doesn't have a god dad.
A godfather?
But if he did, his godfather.
I mean, that's what I do. I mean, Nick's open to the job, but I think Bruce would probably work out better for you.
Hey.
Yeah.
All right, Nick, you're so talkative once again today, man.
Hey, I talked. I divulged some deep, dark.
Yeah, you did, man. And oh, rap. Man, I thank you for that. I hope I didn't press. Maybe next time, man. I'll run by before the show, before I ask deep personal questions like that and put you on the spot. But
it's better to put me on the spot. Just get it out.
Fair enough. And if you want, man, I will be more than happy to help in any way possible to get that particular situation back on the track. It should be, man, for you. I
would love to,
because the idea of either one of those two kids that are in there right now, three kids, not being a part of my life kills me. Just the thinking about that. And I couldn't even imagine what you two guys have gone through and are going through with that. And
biggest thing I can tell you, just don't be selfish.
I think I'm past that, man. Personally,
it's definitely not about you anymore. It's all about them.
Right. And I tell you, Nick, you can probably attest to this. Try to phase me now.
Mm-hmm.
Hit me with all you got. There's nothing that is going to cut as deep, hurt as bad. Nothing will come close to that. It's like once you've taken away everything that a man cares about, granted that I had a chance to fix this and did not.
Yeah.
That's not my fault. But once you've taken away everything that a man cares about, there's nothing that you can say or do that can ever hurt this person again. No. There's a shell that grows over a heart after this, I think, after something like this happens. And that's unfortunate because you would hope that you would be able to move on or at least push it aside, but it lives right here.
Right.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
All day.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you want your kids to grow up like my other boys. I have a 22-year-old that's in the Army and he knows the backstory. And I'm like, you know, I don't want you to grow up like me. Don't be an asshole. Don't be selfish. It doesn't matter how cool the shit is you're doing right now. Think about other people. If you get somebody pregnant, stick around. Don't be an ass.
Do the right thing.
So, yeah. And it's like, you know, every time I talk to him, I just beat that into his head. It's like, dude, you know, there's a lot of cool shit that could happen, but it's not worth messing something else up. So,
well, that way
you have this opportunity to this is your therapy. You know, I don't know if you see, I recently started my own podcast thing that I'm doing.
Yes, you did. I'm sorry I didn't bring that up. I was actually doing the research and I wanted to ask you about that.
It's all good, but it's that's therapeutic for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I talk to Serena, you know?
Yeah.
You guys have this, you get to talk to people, you have each other to talk to. Mm-hmm. But as far as like this is your dad cast, as far as parenting, I talk to Serena, you know? So this is probably therapeutic for you guys to have these relationships for parents and fathers and see what they're going through and
Yeah, it's an amazing journey to see all these, I mean, celebrity dads, you know, in seeing that, you know, they're just normal guys, man. Mike, you're a normal guy. You know, if anyone who didn't know you and seen you on 911 and all these other shows, they get that, ooh, TV, you know, celebrity. But one of the goals of this podcast, it is snowballed into showing the world, A, dads are important, B, these guys are just like you and I for the most part, you know, obviously different careers, different paths, but they're not any different. You know, they wake up and take a shit in the morning too, just like all of us. And that's what we want to do. And that's, you know, what, and it helps. And seeing everyone's different path and how they parent and how they decide to do things on, you know, social media, how that parent feels about that and how it's different with this other guy. And just seeing all these different paths and different ways of bringing up their kids, but all in a good way. It's great talking about it and learning about it and everything. And in even hearing your story, as sad as part of it is, and you too, Nick, maybe this is one of those things that will help. I mean, you never know who's going to see this podcast in the future and it's going to strike a chord. Maybe this episode, 5 years from now, someone watches it, a daughter who's been estranged from her father sees it, and this episode struck a nerve or chord with them, and they said, you know, I'm going to reach out to my dad. You know, all these possibilities are what I really love about what we're doing. Your podcast, Mike, I can tell that studio foam is gorgeous in the corner, and that AKG, and I love that, Mike. That thing is so old school and badass, but new. I love that thing. Tell us about your podcast, and then we're going to wrap this thing up because we're going to do a promo for your podcast. So, as soon as someone's done listening to this one, they can go head over to Mike Estes's podcast.
There you go. Nice. Well, my podcast is I'm doing special events as well, sort of like a Comic-Con type deal where you pay for an autograph for a certain celebrity, and then you gain access to the event.
Right.
That's certain celebrities are doing that. And then I have lots of friend celebrities, like musicians and stuff, a ton of musician friends. They're just doing straight podcasts as well. It's called The Danger Room.
It's a great name, by the way.
Thank you.
I like how it ties in with Dangerous Entertainment.
What's that?
I like how it ties in with your company.
Yes, Dangerous Entertainment, which came from punk rock, which was when I would put together punk rock flyers, it would have to be something presents. So Dangerous Entertainment presents, because it's my thing. So you can find my podcast at Welcome to the Danger Room on Instagram and Facebook. Twitter is Mike's Danger Room, at Mike's Danger Room. Talk about lots of weird stuff, fun celebrities, lots of musicians, actors, actresses, Zen Buddha masters.
That's awesome, man. For everyone watching this, I will link it below. If you're listening to the audio, well, you got to have to fend for yourself and go find it. You heard what Mike said. The address is right there. I can't wait to check it out, man. I'm going to do that as soon as we're done here.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. We got some episodes. I'm baking some episodes right now. It's launching fairly soon. But that's my podcast. You can find me at Mike Estes Stunts, STUNTS, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. But this is your platform. So real quick, Nick, I wanted to say, I appreciate the fact that you spoke directly to your daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is your place. This is your space to do that. And I appreciate that because like you said, you never know. 5 years from now, days from now. So
yeah, exactly.
Next week.
Same for me, Kaylee, my daughter.
I'm going to text her right after we're done. So we'll see what happens.
Mike, finish that thought. You're talking to Kaylee.
Yeah, I said, Kaylee, if you ever hear this, I love you. I miss you. And I want to work this out. So, yeah. Nick, I hope it works out for you.
I hope it works out for you too, man.
Thank you. Dude, I'm in your corner, Mike. I got the heebie-jeebies. And I'm going to leave you with this one fun fact. I'm not even kidding. Can you see that? Whew. Still going. Now it's up the neck. That's important. I'm not sure it was, I thought it was yours, kids, but after hearing out, you're probably like, what the hell is he talking about? I just got rid of a toddler bed that I picked up when my little girl was about 2, so 5-6 years ago, from your ex. She was selling it on Craigslist. And I thought that might've been your kid's bed at one point. And she outgrew it. And I wanted to reach out and be like, because this was right about when Nico, I found out you're going to have a kid. I'm like, can I get this bed to Mike? Anyway, wow. It never happened. It collected dust in the garage for a few years, but you and I had a connection right there and you didn't even realize it.
That's incredible. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. That gesture is very, very cool.
I wish I had gotten it to you. It would have been a whole hell of a lot better gesture that way.
Well, the thought and letting me know right now is that's the world. I believe that was, if I can picture it.
It was pink, about yay wide, slats, yes. Little mattress. It fits a toddler. You know, as soon as you get out of a crib and right before they get that first, twin mattress, there's that two-year gap right there. That was the bed, man. My baby girl Avery slept in it, and it used to be in your household, man. Guarantee it. All right. That is it, you guys. That is all the time we have covered. So much and so important. This has been one of the deeper podcasts we have done, and important. And we've actually gone over, and I appreciate it. Mike Estes, rock star, movie star, stuntman extreme, and most importantly, dad, and a kick-ass one at that. Thank you for being on the show, Nick, as well. You're amazing. Thanks, we're gonna awesome. we're gonna do this, dude. It's now I'm making it my personal goal to try, at least get. No, the only way is winning, and you're tenacious, brother. Right. So we're gonna do this. There's no losing in this one. There's no try to do or do not. Mike, again, thank you for being on Dadcast. Oh, you know what? I don't think I've uploaded my finale thing on this Roadcaster. Let me see. Nope, that's the mystery song. So. I usually have a drop in there that says, thanks everyone for listening to Dadcast. My kid's on there, but this new Roadcaster, I haven't uploaded yet.
All good, man.
All gravy. Mike Estes, you the man. We'll look forward to seeing you on some brand new shows. Nick, thank you. This is Dadcast, and we will see all of you next week.
All right. Thanks, see man. Ya.
Thanks, guys. Peace.